Hi, I'm Chris Harrison. And no, I'm not The Bachelor. The journey begins again.
What a wild thing to think after 18 years that this is what it's come to.
You, Chris Harrison, come at me.
Good evening, friends and associates.
I don't know what to call everyone.
And listeners, there you go. How is everyone doing? I hope y'all had a good week. Welcome back to Roses and Brosifs. I am here with Wyatt.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about episode 4 of season 24 this week. So we'll start off with a little bit of Bachelor Nation news. As a lot of people know, Jade and Tanner, but it was Jade, they colluded to win a DraftKings, some sort of fantasy contest or something, and $1 million was revoked from them, and Jade's Instagram has since been, like, deleted and deactivated and stuff, and I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy.
That's some scandalous shit.
Oh, yeah. So that happened. There was, unfortunately, a death in the Bachelor Nation community among a former contestant on Hannah B's season. I hope that his family is doing okay. And then lastly, but not least, allegedly, actually, no, this isn't alleged. Hannah G was interviewed on her relation to Hannah Ann and how Hannah got Ann got on the show. And it is reported that Hannah Ann was the one who asked Hannah G for her recommendation to go on this show. So it wasn't something where, like, Hannah G spontaneously, you know, recommended her. Hannah kind of asked her way into this. So I think that explains a lot of motives and why she's, like, ready to play the freaking game.
This is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's news. That's about it.
Under the table, back alley shit happening.
There really is, like, every year it's something different. But the DraftKings thing, that was a new one. So, okay, Chris comes to the house in his usual blue outfit, and the girls find out that Peter has left the mansion to go to Ohio.
Yeah. they let, like, he's like, he's gone. He's out of town.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're going to fly all out there. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, and they think they're going to go to some, like, foreign country. And they're like, to Cleveland. And they're what?
So the first, like, big travel date is always statewide, and then they start going out of the country. So I think Costa Rica will be the next destination.
Well, they should just stay statewide and, like, promote, you know,
local places, local, well,
towns, whatever, other towns, other places.
I agree with that. They end up getting to do that when it comes to the hometowns a little bit. And then there are places that will pay the Bachelor producers to bring their team and advertise it. So this place in Cleveland paid these producers. And then I guess wherever they go next will be, you know, sponsored as well.
Yeah.
But before we get too much further, next week's episodes are actually on Monday and Wednesday. And that's when we find out what happened to Peter's face. And that's when they go out of the country and we get a rose ceremony.
Oh, we get a double header here.
Yeah, there's a lot. We'll give you one episode that wraps up all of that. So we won't keep it too crazy for you guys. And with that said, they're going to Ohio. They have to feign excitement. And we get some...
But it looked pretty cool.
It did. Okay, so the date that Peter and Victoria went on was cool up until...
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that for sure. Peter says that Clark Kent was born here, and I think all of us know that is not true.
No.
He's an alien.
From Krypton.
From Krypton, and then he landed in what was fictionally Kansas or something.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
So he's not from Cleveland. Yeah, so shout out to all the nerds who caught that. So the girls arrive to their penthouse that's overlooking Lake Erie, and the girls are starting to call Peter their boyfriend. So I took a drink every time they did that because it's really creepy and predictable.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
No.
Like, I guess they're totally fine with like them like dating, like all of them dating the same guy and being like, he's my boyfriend. And it's like, whoa, some polygamy going on here.
Especially since it's only like a few weeks in. It's a very short amount of time and they get so little time with him. It's just funny. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's like when someone walks up to you as a joke and they're like, yeah, you my boo. I was like, I don't know you. I've never met you before. So we find out that Victoria F. is the one going on the one-on-one with Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get back from the commercial, she is, of course, arriving to an airport because we can't have an episode without airport establishing shots.
Yes.
Apparently.
And several small planes.
And several, of course. And they're like, oh, she's like, oh, what are we doing here? And I'm like, what do you think you're going to do there? Peter flies her. And I'm just like, this is a liability. I know that some people are very spontaneous, but that is a liability. Is he going to fly like over half of these women? What kind of waivers and insurance? I think I said this last time, but that's just because it's so concerning.
I kind of wish she was the girl like got motion sickness and then she just like thrown up like in his lap or something.
Or yeah, like that zero G effect where it's just like splattered on the inside of the glass.
Ugh.
Oh, I'm so sorry if you're eating. I'm sorry, guys. So she's like, what are we doing here? And she thinks they're going skydiving. Mind you, from a Cirrus SR-22, which is the modern propeller plane. It can only seat two people. Maybe a baby.
Yeah, it's like a Cessna.
It's a Cessna, and it's tiny. And I don't know why she thought they would go. Who's going to fly it if you go skydiving from that? Also, if you jump off, you're going to hit part of it, too. Whatever. Turns out she's gone skydiving before the gods and goddesses of the internet dug up this information, and she actually has gone skydiving before.
Okay. It would have been funny if she'd been like, we're going skydiving? He's like, yeah, just you. I got to keep flying the plane. Like,
yeah, I got to go somewhere. I just wanted to drop you.
Shoves her out of the plane. Like.
So there's just such a weird timing. They fly and arrive at an air amusement park that is completely theirs for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria is freaking out on the bungee ride and all of the other rides. And then they sit down to talk and we find out that they both want like two to four kids. And then they talk about amusement parks and how kids, like, you can't have three kids because one will have to sit by itself and always be awkward. And I'm like, well, A, that one could rotate. B, kids are not that fragile. Like, they can sit by themselves on the ride. In fact, sometimes kids really, especially when they have siblings, they want space.
Yes.
They crave it. So, don't judge people with three kids because of that. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. He's like, no, they gotta be an even amount or else that one kid's gonna be alone.
Oh, my God.
It's just like,
no.
Shut up.
Victoria says what is like ultimate cringe, and it happens every season of The Bachelor. There's always a few girls that will say, you would be such a good girl dad.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, I don't like to use patriarchy a lot because it's like a very overused word. It's like almost mundane at this point. But that goes back to, like, I don't know. They see these, like, really mundane qualities in him that aren't special, but they're not as negative as what they're used to dealing with. And so they automatically think, this man has proven himself to me in this short amount of time to not mentally and emotionally destroy someone like I am at this point. Because I've noticed that the girls who've said it to him have had the biggest, like, emotional problems on the show. And that was both Victoria's, actually. Oh my gosh, it's a pattern.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. So that's my hypothesis on the whole girl dad thing. It's just weird. I just
think it's kind of dumb. It's like a dad's going to be a dad. Don't try to force a dad into a box.
Yeah, like, I totally think that boy dads having an effect is equally important. But if you replace that figure with someone else, you know, whatever. But don't pigeonhole it, you know? It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she just thinks he's perfect because of this show, because if I remember correctly, like Hannah B was here for 2 episodes,
mm-hmm.
and he did apply to be the on The Bachelorette, which was Hannah B's season, like while he had a girlfriend that he was dating for, I think, 4 years, and told her he loved her and was going to move in with her. So yeah, he applies to be the bachelor and does all that and the psych test and all that while he's with someone. Girl.
Where's Mike?
Where is Mike? He took the words out of my mouth. Where the fuck is Mike? I'm getting mad. We're going to move on. So
yeah, let's move on.
Huge red flag. And they turn the corner as they, you know, land. They get done with all the rides. Victoria freaks out. They turn the corner and there is a ginger bearded man on stage who is apparently named Chase Rice. This is the first time I've ever seen this person.
Apparently he writes country songs.
He writes country pop songs.
Yeah. What I listened to sounded exactly like pop country.
It did. So Victoria F. has apparently had relations with this gentleman previously.
Mm-hmm.
And the producers have set this up.
Obviously.
Do you think Chase knew that this was going to happen?
He said he didn't.
I think he didn't. And you know why? Why would he want to ruin the emotional performance of his tour with drama like that? Like, that was a business opportunity for him. Whether his music is good or not, and I'm not saying it's bad, it's just not my thing. That was business. That was an investment for him and his musicians. And for these producers, that was fucked. I haven't seen them stoop to this level yet, where this is like someone's money. Because he was like shook when he was trying to sing the song and then he had to like pull himself together.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a little bit less shook than like what was wanted out of him.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like, fuck, this is awkward.
Yeah.
And like he's obviously doesn't really give a shit because he still performed.
No,
he was
totally
fine.
He was
a professional.
He was very professional about it. It was just a rocky four seconds where he was like,
He was just like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah, like he had to catch his voice. Like, it was weird hearing his own voice come out of his mouth while he's like trying to process this. Like, yeah, it's so weird.
And then him and Peter talked afterwards.
Peter's like, hell yeah. Like, who else seen a leprechaun? Say hell yeah. So they go talk, and Peter's like, oh, that was awesome. And
you like this song? She's like, yeah. I think they're like dancing.
Yeah. She's like singing all the words too. And I'm like, girl, if you take your new man to your ex's show, don't pretend you know any of those songs. If he's like, oh, have you heard this before? Be like, nope, I don't. I've never heard this shit. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, it's more honest, I guess, if she was just like, oh, yeah, I like the song.
She's singing along.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why did the producers make Peter go talk to him? We don't normally see, but of course, we know why. They want drama.
It was funny, though. So, it was funny. I didn't think it was drama in any way. I thought it was just like, this is going to be fucking hilarious.
It was so hilarious. Like, Peter was so oblivious and he was so nice to him.
Yeah.
So Victoria and Chase have a convo then.
Well, it's not like it should be mean to him, but still.
Yeah. No. But like, yeah. So they get to the night portion and Peter says, if everything goes well, we could have Chase Rice sing at our wedding.
Yeah.
Ooh. So Victoria knows that she has to bring up to Peter that she dated someone before this, even though like Peter's here because he dated someone before this.
Yeah.
It was one person.
Yeah. Also, I mean, like, come on. Like, were you supposed to, like, pretend that, like, people hadn't had relationships before you met that person? That's bullshit.
Yeah, she's in her 20s. I'm not saying that everyone needs to have a boyfriend, but it's very common to have at least one before her age. I don't know.
If not, yeah.
If not more. Like, it's so hard, but just her freaking out over this was so weird.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big deal at all. Yeah. So I guess she's just, like, falling into that stigma that's against, like, women having exes that exist versus guys. I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, that's dumb. People have exes. Big deal. Get over it.
Yeah,
it's like
big deal.
If they still cared about them, they'd probably still be with them. Like,
exactly.
So
yeah. So she's ashamed, even though like, you know, the producers set all three of y'all up like this. Mm-hmm. Like, why be ashamed?
Yeah.
So she's contemplating that, and then we cut back to the house. We find out who's on the group date. It is Victoria P, Kiara, Kelly, Deandra, Maddie, Lexi, Cheyenne, Tammy, Sydney, Hannah Ann, Savannah, and my Kenna. It says, let's tackle love together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for this. And this means that Kelsey has the one-on-one. So when we get back to the one-on-one, Victoria like takes herself to the corner and cries. Peter has to fix it.
Peter just comes over there and consoles her.
Yeah. And she gets over it, kind of, and then they're fine. She gets the rose, of course, and we move on.
Yeah.
So Peter and the girls will be having a group football date. Tammy is excited for this date. I would be, too. Like, this is the only date that looks, like, really, really fun. And the girls go through various drills dressed in their shoulder pads and helmets. And Victoria P. is the only one not participating because she messed her back up somehow. I'm not doubting that. It was probably from that gyroscope thing she didn't even want to do.
Who knows?
But still, this was like a sly play because then she got to sit out and get attention from him. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
Tammy is ready to clean up. Like, they show their faces and they're standing in a circle. And some of these girls, like especially the athletic ones, you could tell they're like Belgian Malinois in a cage, and it's like you have steak and you're about to open it. They're like ready to get out, tear it up. I'm excited. So, Kennel Club.
Yeah, it's true.
The Bachelor Bowl is about to begin, and the winners will get to go to the after party, just like in a cult.
Mm-hmm.
So, this date. Genuinely, yeah, it does look fun, especially because of the uniforms. They're wearing the full shoulder pads, like the shiny pants with the drawstrings and everything.
Yeah,
and it's like, I don't even think, like, when I watch football, I'm not like, oh man, you know, this is an attractive uniform. No, I just think it looks cool. Like, it looks fun. So there's some really good tackles. Cheyenne gets like 2 or 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, she fucking sprinted.
Yeah.
Like a goddamn gazelle.
Yeah, some of these girls can catch too. You could tell that somebody was playing football with them. Kelly, we learned, can throw a football. She's like actually holding back her quarterback skills because I think she has all brothers.
Does she?
Yeah, like they showed her family at the beginning and she works with all of them. It was like three dudes and her dad and like probably one other guy.
Yeah,
like
she
can throw a football.
I'm remembering that now.
Having men in your life isn't mutually exclusive to that, but you can't lie and pretend like it doesn't help. So she got a lot of respect for me from that. And then Cheyenne is carrying the team on her back, basically. And I want to point out that they gave them 7 points for a touchdown. A touchdown is 6. And then you get... Okay. Yeah, I don't know why the producers like did that, but it's fine. It's not the biggest deal in the world. So Cheyenne is definitely trying to win the group date for her team. And mostly, well, obviously herself, because she hasn't gotten to talk to Peter. Because of drama.
Yes.
And we, you know, we're getting closer to a point where that may or may not have resurfaced. Deandra takes the ball into the end zone on the 4th down. So they are 28-28, which honestly, that's a better score than some NFL games. Maddie is pissed, and I could tell because she was the basketball champion. So she's also super competitive. And instead of like being happy that they all get to see Peter, now they're bummed that they have to share their time. And I actually see their point because instead of it being like 6 girls, it ended up being 13.
Yeah, yikes.
Yeah. So the fact that the producers don't even create a tiebreaker just lets me know that they don't have anybody's best interest at heart. They're like, fuck these people. We're going to play with y'all.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah. Every week, too. It's like they don't even give Peter like 3 seconds to just get to know these people.
There's not very much airtime for a lot of stories from all the girls. It's always like some bullshit drama or them doing like some crazy physical activity that
leads nowhere. Yeah, especially.
And can be also just like trivial. King or queen of the bedroom.
Oh,
what the fuck?
I'm still cringing from that. Like, that was the title of last week, and I'm just like, how do we get to this? It's 2020. It's fine. I don't know. They're just going to keep doing that until who knows when. Because these are things that they used to do like when the show started, which was like, I don't know, 2000, maybe earlier. And these are just so, they're like outdated, but this show has managed to preserve them in like a creepy jar, like a creepy taxidermy jar or something. Very interesting.
I mean, like Chris Harrison?
Well, not only Chris Harrison, because, yeah, he is basically preserved in a petri jar, yeah. But just like the very...
He's like the next Dick Clark.
Yeah.
He's just like ringing every new year and like not look like he's aged ever.
No, he's getting cloned or stem cells or something in that friggin' ABC production room.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just keep doing the same things over and make the women compete physically and then, you know, not even give the one who competed the most physically the winning. So it's technically like you're kind of winning, but not for any real reason. Like you can still win by sitting out. And that's another interesting dynamic to this game. So the girls talk about how much they all wanted to win. Again, they're supposed to be six. There's 13. The Peter is pulled aside by Victoria first, even though she did not play the game at all when we get to the group portion. And that's kind of why she's actually playing the game the best right now, because minimal effort. She didn't have to get tired or like get sweaty, although I don't see anything wrong with that. Like if somebody can't still be attracted to you when you're doing sports, that's kind of weird. So,
yeah, but don't sit out of everything.
No, seriously. It's going to be something else next time. You're actually right. Yeah. You're very right about that. Yeah. So we'll see. And then she uses that time to talk about herself. Another woman mentions to Peter how good of a dad he's going to be, even though these women have spent like hours combined with him at this point. There is a creepy green screen of him in front of a blue backdrop, which means they had to refilm something. Cheyenne brings up how unfair it is that Victoria went up first instead of just moving on and like going to talk to him second.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is that going to solve? I'm curious. What she should have done is just play it off like a G, go talk to him and make him forget the conversation that he had first. But now she's crying, which is a very bad move. That's how you lose points. And time and impressions are too limited, especially at this stage, to do this stuff. Like, just go get your time with him.
Yeah.
So she brings
don't
up...
Don't whine about it.
No. And she still does. Like, she brings up the fact that Victoria stealing him bothered her. You do not show your full hand if you're not the contender's favorite. And in a battle between Victoria P and Cheyenne, Victoria P will inevitably win. In the show's terms and Peter's terms. So the women are happy that Cheyenne is with him so that they don't have to hear her complain. But right as Tammy is talking about the Alea drama from last week, we hear some heels clunk into the room and none other than Alea goes to talk to Peter.
Yeah, she's came walking up and everybody is shocked and annoyed.
Yes.
Immediately.
I'm really impressed because over time, the production in terms of how people get to The Bachelor has become so lock and key. Like, it used to be a little bit more of a cacophony where they had access to run up to him, but now they were able to formulate that because if she'd come in during anyone else's time other than Cheyenne's, it wouldn't have been as impactful. If it had been Victoria's, it would have been a different story. But Cheyenne was already really weak. I'm not trying to be mean, but she was just weak in the episode. Couldn't hold it together in front of him. Hated the stuff that went on last week. And Alea's entrance during her quote-unquote time, which is so important to them, was perfect. So it's producers get my freaking... They're mean, but they're good at their logistics. Like, really good at it.
This is all very interesting because this is like way more spiteful than what I've seen so far of like Bachelor television.
This is a very spiteful season. You're right. They don't normally have it out this bad. Like, I feel like Hannah, even though she messed up her own season in her own way, she had more opportunities to just like sit and have meaningful conversations with these guys like really early on.
That is true.
On Bachelor in Paradise, like there were engagements from that season. Granted, only one has lasted by this point, but those people got time without so much cacophony being just like thrown in for sake. Like the producers worked off of what the people gave them, but this time they're orchestrating a lot. Like it seems like they don't like Peter, and it's weird because it's like they made such a big deal about it being him.
Well, I mean, like nobody wanted Peter. That's everybody wanted Mike.
Yeah, they do know that also. it's so conflicting. You're right. It's a very vindictive season. I'm kind of like a little worried to see what happens next week. I just want to see him like get to know someone enough to make a good or better decisions, because he's making bad decisions right now.
I mean, I don't hate the guy, but I kind of just want to see this end with him, like something that happened like with Hannah B, where he's like, oh yeah, and then he gets and like finds out that woman's like
they went through the same thing, yeah, basically.
That'd be great. And then Luke P shows up with like Hannah B in his arms. He's like, haha, loser.
No, okay. That would be great for entertainment sake, but actually, I am more convinced now that Peter B. See, there I go. Just Peter B. Peter needs to spare these women, because coming onto this show, I've never done it. I never planned to. But coming onto this show means a huge suspension on your life just for the chance of maybe liking someone and them liking you back. And it's weird. The odds are messed up. But for their time to be wasted fundamentally like this every week, like these girls, I'm not surprised if half of them are like, yo, like bye on their own.
Yeah, I mean, so far, like God. I feel like it'd be funny if like they just have a default winner, like just one girl that just stays because like everybody else just fucking leaves.
Oh yeah, she's like the only one. Yeah, she's
like, the winner by default.
And he's like, can so and so come back in here?
Yeah.
Oh, so Alea asks Cheyenne and Peter if she can interrupt, and Cheyenne is like, so we cut to commercial, and of course Peter says yes, he's going to talk to her. The producers just, yeah, they knew what they were doing. So Alea has quote unquote something to talk to Peter about. I think this is like super shady considering the fact that there are already double plus one, the amount of women that were originally supposed to be on the date. And now we have another one who was sent home last week.
A proverbial third wheel.
Yes. A burned contestant has arisen from the ashes. Honestly, though, this is good drama. Yeah, she phoenixed that shit. It's good drama, especially since, like,
it's unnecessary.
Yeah, but since they built it, I mean, it's here, and they had to do something, I guess. Since semi-key players can go home this week, and semi-key players are people who we definitely know their first name by now. Nobody's really just, like, skating by. Everyone who could go home has boosted in minimum 15,000 Instagram followers by this point. It's pretty serious. So, yeah, these are people who are playing the game very well. And, yeah, last week we barely got to know more of the girls. This week, still barely getting to know them. Alea is just trying to secure her ticket on Paradise, in my opinion, because I feel like the producers probably like invited her on her way out and they were like, do this one thing for us, and she just willingly went along.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that.
Like, she wants more screen time for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering how clearing up the fiasco from last week is going to remotely make him reconsider keeping her till the end of this. It's silly,
man. Okay, like, well, let's finish the rest of the episode before I have some comments.
Okay, that's fair, because we're getting really close. We're like three quarters away. So, yeah, it's just really stupid. And Peter is unhappy because he didn't think he would have to deal with this again. And he walks up to the women as a group, and he feels the need to talk to Victoria P. again because I guess he trusts her more. So Victoria P. uses crying as her superpower, and this is enough to convince Peter that she is indeed here for the right reasons, and Alea is here for TWR. So you never want to be outed by another player as here for the wrong reasons. And that's a bad move, because then you're going to have to prove why you're not. And then at this point, like, at least 8 or 9 women know they won't get to talk to him. So they just get deep into this drama. Like, they just start talking it out on the couch.
Yeah. There's a revolt a brewing.
It's happening. And this is amazing, because we don't see it this early. And I haven't seen anything like this in years. Like, Colton didn't do anything to piss these girls off like that. Ari didn't. Ben certainly did. I can't remember. Like, this is some Juan Pablo. The OG fans will know, half OG fans, because that's like intermediate Bachelor universe. But yeah, that's Juan Pablo level. So
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's okay.
Okay.
I don't expect you to, but I'll show you like a clip later, like 30 seconds. All right. So Peter makes Alea and Victoria sit down finally, or again. Didn't they talk this out last time? I'm going crazy at this point. I don't really know. They probably did.
This is like the second to third time.
Yeah, so this is wasting even more of the women's time. So, okay, just pause, time out. Peter, honestly, like, he and I are the same age. And what I would have done in that situation is be like, look, you broads are causing me so much drama. That's stupid. I'm going to go talk to everyone else but you. We'll see if you're here next week. And slam the door. Or when Alea walked in, I would have been like, what is this? What is she doing here? No, I don't want to talk to her. And then she wouldn't get to come in. But we're made of very different cloths. So, again, he's wasting the women's time. Body language is everything, because we see that Peter is sitting much closer to Victoria P than he is to Alea. And he also has contact with her. So this ends up going absolutely nowhere. If Peter were really mature, he would, again, just tell them that they could wait so that he could talk to everyone else who worked hard on the date today. Like, so unfair. And again, we would not blame them if some just went home. Like we said, it's very easy to doubt if Peter is even here for the right reasons at this point. And again, like, it's so rare that a bachelor, that we have to question them, especially this early. Like, he had all the fanfare as being such a good boy and a catch. And this is exactly just history repeating himself. Like, what he did to Kaylee is what he's going to do to all these women. Because he's not emotionally ready, in my opinion.
No, plus he's a complete moron with the fact of, like, he doesn't understand, like, his actions have consequences.
No.
And he's just like, well, I'll just let you back on the show. And then, like, all the girls are like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like,
that's why I love watching this with you, because as soon as he did that, you were like, because you knew the women were going to, like, be like savage birds in a ring, just, like, pissed off. And How did he not know that? Like, I know that. I'm not even like a straight dude. Like, I know that would piss a bunch of women off. Oh my God.
I mean, like, he talked to how many different girls about her?
Every single one. But the producers only showed
like 3 or 4.
No, they showed more. It was like maybe
was
6 or 7.
Victoria P, for sure. It was like one of the major ones.
Oh yeah, on this episode. On the last episode at the pool party, I think they had Lexi, they had Cheyenne, they had Sydney, they had Kiara, I think they had Kelly, they had Savannah, they had Hannah, Natasha. Oh my God, they had over 8 women weigh in on this.
Yeah.
Last time.
And so it was pretty well established that, like, she was not liked by everybody and she had ill intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he, like, kicks her off, essentially being like, not giving her the rose. And she comes back and she's like, I just think there's some stuff you're misunderstanding about me. He's like, you're right, you should come back on. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, that's a really,
his, like, reasoning, it went stupid. Over
it seems like, I don't know, it just seems like if he's like looking at a pretty face, he just turns like stupid as hell.
He does, because Alea's pretty, yeah, but she's also so much drama that the crazy hot Richter scale is not in her favor at all. I don't really see it. Like, I've seen it to where the crazy can work for someone a little tiny bit, but this isn't it. This is not that situation. I think Peter is more upset because he listened to everybody else instead of making his own opinion. So I think he likes making bad choices that he made without external input. This is why you need to move out of your parents' house before you find your soulmate. I'm so serious. This is happening because of social conditioning that has not had any time to, like, develop into any sort of external independence. And it's really, really disturbing. I'm not trying to knock people who live at home, but like same thing with Hannah. There were a lot of things that like she didn't trust herself because she has someone to bounce things off of every day when she comes home. And so does Peter, especially when he runs away from the mansion to have silly issues. So until he creates that like detachment, I'm not saying cut the whole cord. I'm just saying like he's not thinking for himself. And there could be a lot of reasons as to why. That's just my guess. But it's just very profound. Like I'm hoping he can kind of just start doing that soon, because this season is like pissing people off and it really shouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm finding it hilarious.
Honestly. No, I'm glad.
I think it's ridiculous and like in the situation that has like been like literally concocted by the producers.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like the decisions that the star of the show is making,
they don't help.
It doesn't help, but it just creates some like this hilarious like oh, look at the drama. Look at it.
I think that you know what? If the first season you had ever seen was Nick's, I think you'd probably be a little less entertained, because he was the last bachelor to just really be like, no, I'm not doing that. That's stupid. Like he did that, and the show hasn't cast anyone like him since because they're afraid of that.
Wait, what season was that?
This was Nick Viall's season. I think it was maybe 2 or 3. It was within the past 6 or 7 years. I know that much. But that one gave birth to the first Black Bachelorette, Rachel Lindsay's season. Mm-hmm. So Nick, I'll cut it short. But Nick has the producers just don't. They use any chance they can to rib him. Even like Chris Harrison. If Chris Harrison hears Nick Viall's name, he freaks out. It's pretty funny. So props
to
Nick.
Was he the Fight Me Bro?
No, that was Chad.
Of course it was Chad.
If it even wasn't Chad, it's just going to be Chad. So, okay, so yeah, that was important to talk about. But Peter sits down and he's actually very like angry or disappointed, but he should be. At the same time, he can be disappointed all he wants, but he's being very unfair to the other women in the house. Mm-hmm. Alea thinks it's everybody else's fault that she is crazy. No, it's her fault. So Peter does a very stupid thing and he asks her if she wants to come back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we talked about, but it's obvious that we're just going in chronological order. So yeah, she says she'll come back only if he promises that they can move past this. And he needs her to promise him that she won't make him into a fool. It's too late. It's way too late for that. She already has.
Yes. This is post.
So she's officially back in the house. These women are... If this were a cartoon, they would have steam.
This is where the revolt starts to occur.
This is where the knives come out. They are silent, and I know that feeling, because they are like... Which cuss word can I avoid from using first? Because I'm pissed. And Peter is already playing even more games with him than he was in the first episode. So he gives them a really shitty speech, which I wrote as much of it as I could. I know you guys are all exhausted. This has been really tough for me. And I'm trying my hardest. I have to be honest with all of you. So he admits that he did not follow his heart during the last rose ceremony. And he takes the group date that could have gone to one of 13 women. Group date rose. He takes the one that could have gone to one of 13 women.
Who busted their ass on the football field.
Who busted their ass today. Victoria P. at least was there. She some sort of effort. She was at least there, but Alea...
She was the cheerleader.
She was the cheerleader, but Alea... For Alea to have the group rose is absolutely sorted. So these women, I hope, dump her stuff in the pool. I want this show to turn into the Bad Girls Club at this point.
So he gives her the rose.
Yeah, he does. And the producers probably told him, like, well, Pete, you know, if she comes back in the house, like, there's only one rose. And he was probably like, oh, I can't, like, keep her and then give the rose to someone from today. And they were like, no, you can't. Mm-hmm. So they made him do that. They're hungry for blood. Okay. So half the women did not get to speak to him or hang out with him for like the second week in a row. So he just does not respect. I can't overlook it. He really doesn't have respect for most of these girls here. I think he knows who he's going to pick. I don't know what it is. I can't fathom. Like, you know what this experience is about. And like off the bat, you're just, there's ways to say no to them.
I think, okay, here's my theory. I think that he is so oblivious to how to like court essentially anybody mm-hmm. that he's just like waiting for them to walk up and engage him. And,
yeah.
And there's some like trickster slash like girls that know how to like make moves and manipulate, and they're like coming in and they're the ones that are like getting the time mm-hmm. for the most part.
Yeah, because he likes that stuff. He's like misplacing the like of somebody taking charge with like them being genuinely good for him.
Yeah.
So he's, oh wow, yeah, that's a really
He wants
point.
The object to come to him, not to him to go to the object.
Oh. Yeah, he's like a 30-70 kind of person. So we find out that Alea has had access to the otherworldly, all-knowing, omnipresent internet in just a few moments off of the show, mm-hmm. which can be enough to undo everything. The only time this has happened before, at least on Modern Bachelor, was Mikkel. Someone on Ari's season, I think, had to leave for like a death in the family. And then when they came back, they knew what people were saying on Instagram about the contestants, and it freaked out the people in the house. So if you break that fourth wall barrier from the outside world, chaos will ensue. And it's fascinating. It's very occultic. Like, so we'll get into that very shortly. Yes. She's had access to the internet. And what did she find on the internet? The same thing that a lot of us knew, honestly, before the show even started filming. And that's that Victoria and Chase dated. So Victoria hasn't gotten to tell anybody in the house about this at this point. This episode is the first time it's very common knowledge. Before that, it was only, well, not necessarily hearsay, but it was just reported by a bunch of sources. And yeah, the girls who were on the group date fill in whoever was at home on what happened at the date. Now Peter has a one-on-one with Kelsey. This one's kind of boring, but we'll talk about it. So she didn't know what polka music is. She can't really dance. Yeah. Peter asks her, so you've never been out of Iowa? So she says no, and something fascinating happens. His face, did you see it? He was like, ooh. Like, it was like a ooh face, but he couldn't hold it back.
No, I was cooking at the moment. I was cooking some Brussels sprouts and bacon,
which were damn delicious. So, yeah, he has like a little microaggression that I caught, and he's just like, ooh, this broad hasn't been out of Iowa. I don't know. And then we get back from another commercial full of prescription meds, and Kelsey cheerses and thanks Peter for accepting her who she is and not running away. What? That's crazy. That's your first cheers with someone and you're going to thank them for not running away? That's yeah. something you do when you've been married for like 40 years. Like,
yeah,
hey,
that one.
Thanks for not running away, you know?
Yeah, that's you're a real that's, one. That's a good, that's a little bit better joke. I mean, that makes a little more sense as opposed to like, how common is it for people to run away after like the first date?
I know, like, what are you doing to them? So she uses her time to play the pity card and she gets a rose. Peter says she's a strong woman. Okay. And
all right, you're a strong woman.
Yeah, she's like, this is the best I've ever been treated or whatever. And I'm like, these women are so young and they come on here like with such low expectations of men that the most simple shit makes them feel like this is the best person for them. And it is so funny.
Well, you know, it just says a lot about various men of today.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's the like, that's what you're coming to.
Yeah, I can definitely attest through, like, I think vicariously or just hearing from single friends that the relationship market is like the job market. It's a shit show. But that's only what I've heard. And there are a lot of things that lend to why. I think there's a disconnect, and like some people might retreat instead of embracing hard things like feelings. I don't know. Also, people are just more sensitive. I'm going to say it. Like,
yeah, that's true.
I think, like,
unfortunately,
when we watch movies from our childhoods, they have a lot more sarcasm and like dry humor and like some pretty aggressive themes that people now need like content warnings for these days. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like our list of movies that fundamentally can't be remade because of culture and socio-related changes is very vast. So yeah, that's where we are. So yeah, like we said, the quality is low. Peter is really not impressing or going above that standard, but everyone kind of thinks he is because they don't have their phones. So Leia ruined the group date and had the nerve to tell everyone in the house about Victoria's laundry. Mm-hmm. So Victoria does the right thing and pulls her aside. I do appreciate her for like having balls and confronting her. And Leia, this was such a bitch move. She said that she had no idea that no one else knew. So why does that make it your business? Like, that it's a true, very yeah. specific type of scoundrel that does that. She's a yeah. scoundrel.
Yeah, she tried to play it off as like, she's like, oh, what? You guys didn't know that?
And
everybody's like,
I thought I was just reminding everyone. Yeah, like
internet access.
Somebody, I think it was Mike Hanna or someone, was like, dude, no one has their phone here.
No, and that was Victoria.
It was Victoria. Okay, yes. Yeah. Yeah, so she was like, no one has their phones. And this is another just really big breaker for the show because they don't usually bring up the word phone at all. Like, phone...
Yeah.
Outside world, internet, like a lot of those things are become taboo terms. So it has gotten serious. Like, this has been a disruptor. I don't think the producers even know it would get this crazy, but they set it up. So
this is their child.
This is their child. And it is honestly better than last season's child, which the drama on the last Bachelor season, on Colton's season, was Hannah B and Kaylin didn't like each other from pageants, and the producers tried to make that a thing, and then the girls squashed it, and the producers were like, shit. So there's ways around this. That's why I don't really have any sympathy for Leia, because she and Victoria P could have avoided this or been mature about it. So Leia has no clue how to apologize, and I do hope she gets sent right the fuck back home. As I'm typing this, Victoria does say the exact same thing verbatim. And she's like, yeah, you're not going to come back here and start drama after being like a loser enough to get sent home, because you are drama. Natasha is like the most sane person in this house. Before I say what she said, like, I'm so glad that there's someone like her that can just be like, this is stupid. Like,
yes.
Like, she doesn't
She surprised me the most, because at first, and she had the whole entire kind of crazy look through the forehead.
Yeah, the crazy eyes. I was like, what's she coming in here to do?
Yeah. And then she turned out to be probably the most like level-headed, along with like Tammy.
Because she's the oldest one, and I'm not trying to be ageist, because I'm younger than her. I would never take offense to that. She's 31.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I know for a fact, because I have friends who are 30, 31, and I get a lot of advice from them. So me saying that her age contributes to that is not, it shouldn't be taken as offensive. But she's the most sane person in the house. She says that Peter may not even know what he wants. And that is like, that hit different. Like, that's true.
Yeah, truth.
Truth, dude. Okay, so when we get back from commercial, the rose ceremony that doesn't happen, by the way, is about to start. Deandra uses a moment to call Peter out about the fact that he had a lot of women who had bruises, and it was a huge slap in the face for him to do those things.
Yeah, I think like Natasha has like some bandages on her knee.
Yeah, Natasha, she's also hurt physically and mentally, and she said this, and she brings it up, and now all these other women puss out, and they don't stick up for her. or stick up for the two of them. And they were saying the same exact things, if not worse, about Peter. So I think that they are cowards for not wanting to look bad. Like, in a relationship, you're going to get mad sometimes, and that's okay. And they have the right to be mad. They need to
bring it up, too.
They need to bring it up, because talking to each other, like, I can't believe he did that. Like, that's not going to change his behavior. You know what? Why are they trying to change him? We shouldn't have to be changing The Bachelor.
Well, what he did was a slap in the face to every single woman there.
Every single one.
So the ones that were like, what the F? Like, you know, they were pretty pissed off. But like, Liam's are just like, I'm kind of mad, but I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to rock the boat. Yeah. It's just like, oh, okay, you're just one of those people that doesn't like, they'll just like...
Non-confrontational, like Hannah Ann, those type of people.
You also have like little self-respect for yourself.
I've said what I said, I've acknowledged their feelings, and we're done. So Peter does the fuckboy move of probably the decade, y'all. Like, I'm going to put this in a top three. I don't know who's top two other than Jed. Okay, I don't know who's top one, but we'll find out. Peter
Luke P. No.
He's not as bad as who's been the worst. That's the problem.
That's the only one I only have experience with, so.
It's okay. I'll give him a top 15 worst of all time. That includes men and women too. So that says a lot. Peter gaslights these women by apologizing for not being perfect. Who does that? That's not I'm sorry. That is bullshit.
Yeah, that wasn't an apology.
That was he's so fake. Oh my God, I'm getting so mad. No, he's so
just,
fake.
I'm not going to say he's fake. He's just completely oblivious to the consequences of his actions. And he doesn't know how to like deal with it, especially whenever he gets any reprimand.
No, he's just insecure.
Like, he's just like, oh, what? Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
What? I didn't know that she was your friend. I gave her a ride home. He's shady. This is just going to get worse. Like, he's just going to be defensive all the time and like make them feel like they're, feel sorry for it. You know what? I don't have to be with him. Thank goodness. So, he says, please accept that apology. And then, he wants to pull women aside to start talking to them. And he pulls aside Victoria P, who says, I don't really want to talk to you right now. And she puts a hand up too. Like, it was the most visceral anger I've ever seen directed towards a host of a show, especially in the first four episodes. Like, that is unprecedented. So Victoria P is pulling like a Ripley's, she's pulling a Guinness Guinness World Record move by being very upfront and showing anger to the lead, because normally they squash it until there's four women left and they just explode and then they get sent home.
Yeah.
So it's good that she's just doing it now. And he's terrified because I don't think he realized that the women were gonna like show their cards like this. Where's Mike? He could come in to the season right now. Like, let's use the rose ceremony. Chris Harrison and come out and be like, well, ladies, there's been a change of plans. Mike is
swapping out the bachelor.
Mike is your new bachelor. Mike walks in and like, I guarantee you.
Chris Harrison swoons.
Yeah, Chris Harrison swoons. I guarantee you 3/4 of the women would be like, oh shit, this is an upgrade. And then the rest will probably be like, okay, I'll stay, whatever.
Yeah. But here's our apology. We're switching out the bachelor.
Producers, you have time. It would be a fell swoop, but whatever.
Nobody would notice.
And what sucks is, of course, they've already filmed it. We know this. This is not in real time. Yeah, but if they were smart, they would have put Mike in there.
Yeah. And nobody would have noticed.
Yeah.
Even none the wiser.
No. So when Peter talks to Victoria, she brings up what Leia did, airing out Victoria F's business. There we go. I haven't had to say her initial yet. Ooh. So she says that Leia brought what happened in the quote unquote outside world, which is another creepy term. They also will refer to literally the real time world as the outside world because they don't have technology.
Right.
Like a cult. And this is just an interesting fourth wall play. They have broken the whole fourth wall. There's no wall in this episode anymore. We know that we're watching a production and the show is going to try to undo that as much as they can next week.
Yeah.
They're not going to give us much more of this. So hold on tight. Lexi breaks the fourth wall again and brings up the show.
Mm-hmm.
So for her to say, we upgraded from outside world to now the show being referenced. And the fact that Alea, if she had any brains, could have waited until the women tell all to tell her story. And that actually made a lot of sense. But we know Alea wants fame.
Yes.
She just does.
It's very obvious.
It's very obvious with her three jobs. So Sydney, Victoria, and a few of the other girls all start to gang up on her. Victoria lets Peter know that Alea came into the house after being out of the house. And this is the first time he's finding out that all the girls did not know about her and Chase. I'm talking about Victoria F this time. So Peter is like, oh my God, I am messing up so bad right now. Like, can you imagine getting sent home twice in a row? That's going to be so funny.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I'm just like...
We don't even know what happens, but there's no way he keeps... Like, this
but she
is,
got the rose, so...
It can be taken back. It's been done before.
Really? Oh, yeah. I hope that happens.
They do rose take backs. It happens. Oh, it's great shit. When it does.
Oh, man, that'd be great. I can't wait for that shit.
Yeah, Monday and Wednesday, guys. Check it out. So Sydney talks to Peter. She's like, you don't even know my middle name. You don't know about my hometown or anything because we're dealing with Alea 24/7. I was like, yes, girl. Yes. Like, finally, they're all airing it out. They're not being like as weak as they were in the circle earlier. They probably had some more champagne. Oh, gosh. So it's just too early in the show for the Bachelor to be getting eye roll. Yeah, reprimanded and getting his getting eyes rolled at him. Like, wow, these women are pissed. He feels like all the girls are gonna walk out. Please do. I think some of them should get to send him home and bring Mike in the house, like I said.
Yeah.
So yeah, that ended this. We don't get to know who goes home. So next week, we start with the rose ceremony. To add insult to injury, at the end of the episode, the producers show Peter failing at basketball. And Victoria's like, Peter, I'm actually embarrassed. And then as she shoots the ball, we get a great cover-up attempt by the producers, but we're too savvy for this. She does say Kobe.
Yeah.
As she swishes it in. There's no way anyone... And I mean anyone in editing, broadcasting, or production could have known. And that is what's crazy to me. Because that was that has been sent off. That has been at ABC ready to hit green for a long time. And so that was just insane. It gave me chills. It was weird.
Yeah, we also rewound it and put subtitles on. And they tried to cover it up with...
Go pee.
Go pee.
It said Kobe.
She's definitely she said was that.
Every person who has seen Dave Chappelle and seen that episode has said Kobe while shooting something at some point.
Yes.
So I refuse to accept go pee. But yeah, that was it. My MVP of the week is Victoria P for creating a Guinness World Record and being angry at the host very upfront in a dismissive manner. I appreciated that.
Actually, both Victorias were.
Both of them were, but the way Victoria P did it, I guess in terms of body language, it was very like there's a level of restraint that they all show out of fear of pissing off the lead.
Yeah.
But Victoria P was so angry that she disregarded it. So she like almost shoved him when she like was like, no, I don't want to talk to you, and like couldn't, and then didn't look at him. And then she changed her mind. But it's just so early. I had to double take at the TV. Like, whoa, she just really like did that. So I was impressed. Punk of the week is Alea. Get this broad out of here. Like in a wheelbarrow or something.
She's the villain.
She's the villain. Yeah. Okay. What are your thoughts with this debacle?
I mean, I've already expressed my thoughts and being like, it's fucking stupid that he just was like, oh yeah, sure, just come back on the show.
Yeah, that was real stupid. That was without, a rookie like, play.
Without even like even remembering just from like last episode. I don't even know how much time had passed. But anyways,
yeah,
like last episode where he was like asking every single girl what they thought about Alea.
And they were honest with him and he's still like...
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
This is high school.
It's stupid. But yeah, that's my thoughts are very expressed about that. And yeah. I'm just glad that like all these women like were like, yo, you can't do this. This is a fucking slap to the face with us.
I'm glad too. I think, yeah, if they start dropping off, like, I'm not going to blame them. I hope that they do and that they get to go on Paradise and meet. Oh, this is interesting because now we're starting to get to see like, who will potentially come back from previous Paradise seasons? Because some people come back.
John Paul Jones.
He might. But I also think he might have moved on to bigger and better things. I'm not sure. But some of them will come back. Like, he started an acting career and like got picked up by like a modeling agency. All that stuff. Yeah. And now he's doing Instagram sponsorships. He said he never would, but he did. So we lost John Paul Jones to the game. He's playing it well now.
He's got to make money somehow.
He's got to make money. But sometimes people come back like three times. It's really embarrassing. So we know that'll happen. And then I already kind of have an idea, but I still don't know who's going to go home. So it's only a crapshoot at this point. That's all I thought. And
question.
Thanks. Yeah.
Question. Do you think Mike's going to be on Bachelor in Paradise this season?
I don't think so. I have a really big feeling, and I haven't read spoilers, but I have a feeling he's gonna find a reject girl from Bachelor Nation to date, whether it's from this season or one or two prior. I don't think he'll go on Paradise again. He also didn't like it, and he didn't like how he was edited on Paradise, and he also was just like, yeah, it just, he didn't care for the experience that much. Damn. So yeah.
Well, okay, all right.
Yeah, we lost our... The Mike ship has sailed. I don't know.
Boo.
Yeah. And it's weird because it's like, well, obviously the new Bachelorette will be one of these women. And what are her guys going to look like? Not going to be a bunch of Mikes. But we never know. We never know. We'll see how this happens. It got more interesting. I'll say I feel better about this season. Even though it's going so terribly, I feel better about it right now than I did Hannah's, because Hannah's was boring. Like, this is boring too, but the girls just make it more interesting than the guys do when they have drama, I think.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it goes both ways. There's always drama going to be created regardless.
Yeah, especially when it's one person and the absurd ratio.
But confrontations do happen more with guys.
Yeah. Pushing and shoving.
Not even so much that, just verbal confrontations.
That's true. They'll usually want to duke it out so they can be cool next to each other, where women can let an issue sit for 50 years. So, yeah.
Jesus.
I've seen it, dude. 50 freaking... I'm not talking to her. She stole my boyfriend in the second grade. Like, damn. I've seen that before. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was this week. We'll see you guys for next week. We'll just wrap up both episodes into one. And we hope you have a good and safe Super Bowl. Please drink responsibly if you are over the age of 21.
Lyft and Uber are much cheaper than a DWI.
They are. And also just be safe and watch out for other people. And if you're going somewhere, don't show up empty-handed. Take a nice dish. That's all I have to say. And yeah, you guys have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.